Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Rave Reviews Book Club's Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio show, Bring on the Spotlight. I am your substitute host today. I'm Jan Sykes, broadcasting from Plano, Texas. Wendy Scott, who is normally our wonderful host for this show, is having some technical difficulties. So we are going to jump on in, and we're going to have a great conversation. We have Karen Black joining us today from High Spire, Pennsylvania, or High Spire. Did I say that wrong? High Spire or High
Spire? You had it.
High Spire. Oh, I kind of like that name. This segment of Bring on the Spotlight is sponsored by Sam Polakoff, author of Shaman. We will learn a little bit more about his title later in the show. So as I said, gracing us today with her presence from High Spire, Pennsylvania, USA, is Karen Black, author of the short story Treacherous Love. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments for Karen during our live show, please join us on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBC Bring on the Spotlight. That's hashtag RRBC Bring on the Spotlight. Or if you have pre-registered your phone number, you can call into the studio with your questions and comments. We'd love to chat with you. So thank you for joining us today, Karen. It's so lovely to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. I'm delighted to be here today.
You know, Karen, your bio mentions that you live with two aliens disguised as cats. One of the little creatures claims to be E.T.'s second cousin, but that has not been confirmed. You have a lifelong affection for animals and a fascination with the supernatural. So tell us some more about your home life.
Well, the two little critters, they do look somewhat like cats, but they act somewhat like aliens. And one tells me lies. He claims that he's E.T.'s second cousin. Now, that could be true from the look of him, but again, that's not confirmed. So I spend a lot of time talking to the animals, indoor and outdoor. We don't have a big property, but we have enough space that there's a lot of wild critters that are less wild now that we're home all the time. Hummingbirds and catbirds in the summer, of course, and then we have the rabbits and squirrels and raccoons and skunks. Yes, I feed peanuts to the skunks. We have them pretty much year-round. I used to, when I first started writing, I wrote, you know, year round, in and out and back and forth. And I found that it just wasn't working. I was missing out on outside stuff and missing out on other things because I would be, you know, chained to my computer, and it stopped being a lot of fun. Well, I switched and started doing more of my outside stuff, my herbs and my animals, and making writing kind of a secondary thing, which I missed. Well, as it turns out, I now do most of my writing in the winter, and it works out beautifully. So some people will call me a seasonal writer.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So it sounds like you live in the country.
Actually, I live in a little borough. High Spire is a tiny little place, but we have a property on the edge that is it's just under an acre. And it has a stream that borders the line, the property line. So while I'm in a burrow, if you come into our yard, into our place, it gives the illusion of being out in the middle of the country because the stream that borders our property separates us from a park. So it's just a lovely setting.
Wow. Well, it sounds absolutely gorgeous. It makes me want to come visit you. I have to tell you
You're welcome.
Funny story about skunks. I have grandchildren, and the youngest is a five-year-old little girl. And we can be driving in the car, and you, of course, their odor is very detectable. And she'll say, "Mimi, was that a stunk?" And she calls it a stunk. And I thought, how appropriate, because they do stink.
Well, we have ducks here, too, so you guys come visit.
I think, and I've heard this mentioned on other interviews, that you are a horse lover and have spent a good deal of time around horses.
Yes.
Your entire life. So do you have a favorite, maybe, equine childhood memory that you'd like to share with us?
one of the things when I was very young, we would go, they had pony rides at like the fair, at the parks where you could, you know, you rent a ride on a pony. And
oh, yeah.
My legs weren't really long enough to barely get around the saddle, and somebody would walk you around. And I was fascinated. Just, you know, I love these animals. And then as I got old enough to be able to actually get my feet in the stirrups, I did a lot of pleasure riding. It wasn't until I was in my late teens, early 20s, really, that we had any horses. And that was only for, you know, for a few years. And after that, I kind of got into horse racing, which was, you know, thoroughbred racing. Where we
wow.
have some race horses, and horses are such marvelous creatures. They're gorgeous, and I think all little girls fall in love with horses. You know, Black Beauty and the horses of Assateague and Chincoteague. Was it Misty of Chincoteague? Got everybody started.
Right.
And of
right.
course, Black Beauty.
Right.
And I yes have spent quite a bit of time in you know in Ocean City and on the island with the horses. So. Overall, I mean, I'm an animal lover generally. There aren't too many that I don't like. I
Maybe
mean,
not
I'd rather not have snakes on me, but I don't mind snakes, you know.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm not a lover of snakes either, I tell you.
Right, right. Like, but, you know, live and let live.
Right, exactly. So one of the things that that you've talked about and you've written about your other short story, and forgive me if I say the title wrong, but Candle in the Darkness or Candle something.
A Candle in the Darkness.
A Candle in the Darkness. It went a little bit over into the supernatural. So tell me, have you personally experienced any strange supernatural phenomena?
Yes.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, well, I, you know, again, that's, I no longer use a Ouija board. And one
okay.
of the reasons is that I was probably about 11, oh, I was 11, not about, I was 11 years old. My grandmother had passed away, and I had just discovered Ouija boards. And, you know, got one with a friend, and we kind of played around with it, didn't do anything. And one evening or afternoon, I was by myself and thought, well, you know, what would happen if I just talked to this? And I asked a few questions, and you know how a Ouija board has that little thing with a
oh, yeah.
mirror in the middle that,
yes,
you know, how
they,
goes to yes or no.
They call it a platen, I think. A
That's it.
Yes.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the name of it. And it moved by itself.
Oh.
Now, at least I thought it did. Okay, so that kind of, I wasn't sure about that, and I sort of put the Ouija board away, and I was very, very uncertain about it. Well, it was years later that a friend of mine wanted to do kind of a seance. She said, I have a Ouija board. Do you know anything about it? And I told her about
uh-huh.
that experience. That was,
uh-huh.
you know, 8 years ago. Well, we had some very strange things happen there, and it moved without us touching. We were asking for signs and doing all this stuff. So there was that, and it was, okay, I'm not doing this anymore, because the more I read, the more I realized that you are not necessarily talking to the person to whom you think you are talking.
Very
so,
true.
You know, that was my Ouija board thing. But mm-hmm. other than that, I mean, I've seen images. I've definitely seen ghosts, or I think I do, or maybe I'm just crazy. But apparitions, voices in some, you know, some areas. It's almost like a whisper. And I did put that in Candle.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you hear the voice.
Yes.
It's like a whisper.
It's inside
you.
Your head. It's not
sort of.
Outward.
Yeah.
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 Right.
But you hear it. You actually hear it.
Right. Right.
And then of course there's the shadows. You know, you see a shadow going across, and you look, and there's nothing there.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, the cats look at something, and I say, what are you watching? Now, we do have a recording. I got myself together and actually recorded an orb dancing through my house. The cat was playing with it. But you couldn't see it. But when I recorded the cat playing, you know, it was like, well, I wonder if she has something. You could see this orb dancing around with her, which came
it.
Down the hall through the living room and out the window. That was great. It's a great recording. I show it to people all the time.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That really just makes my ears perk up because I too have had some awesome paranormal experiences. So it makes really good fodder for writing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I could go on about some stories in much detail, but we really don't have that time.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. It's
okay. Well, I'm going to head over to Twitter because we do have some people chiming in with some comments.
Oh, good.
Wendy Scott says she talks to her animals too. So you're not the only one.
Thank you, Wendy.
And then she also says, "Hi, Spire. Sounds like a great name for a magical book location." I have to agree. It really has a ring to it.
Oh, it does.
Hi, Spire. Yeah, right. That may be the title of another story. Linnea Tanner says, "Learning more about author Karen Black, her cat aliens, and countryside home." We have a comment from Kelsey in the RRBC info department, and she says, "If you love your animals, you talk to them." I think that's
true.
She's
absolutely right.
Naughty Jules
talks to their animals.
Oh, I think so too. That's why we have them. I mean, you know, sometimes people don't listen, so the animals will listen. Nani Jules says, "It's always interesting to hear folks talk about their supernatural experiences. Karen's story is so interesting," and I agree with that, Nani. Joy Nuazu Lobemajoko has chimed in and saying, "As a lover of short stories, I read them first before reading long stories. That is why I've read a lot of your stories, Karen." Okay,
now that
brings a point to mind that I totally... I love short stories, and she is so right in that if you read a short story and it really grabs you, then you're going to go look and see what else that author has written. So short stories are a good segue into longer novels, I do believe.
I agree, and I think I do. I mean, I did write one novel. I think in some ways, short stories can be more difficult simply because you need to get a whole lot of story in not quite as many words. So you don't have time for a lot of excess. You know, you've got to kind of keep it concise.
I agree. And that's good practice because I don't know about you, but I tend to be very wordy. And when I'm writing a short story, I really have to think about each word. Does it need to be there? Because you got a word count you got to stay under. So
I found that I just kind of write whatever and then go back and start eliminating words.
You
write it and then go back and start take a third of the words away.
Right. Linnea Tanner has also chimed in and says Karen Black's book Candlelight in the Darkness is based in part on her paranormal experiences of hearing whisper-like voices. Fascinating. I agree.
Yes, that is true. I wrote that story, actually, I lost a friend of mine, and I just didn't think that he was really gone. It was, that was the beginning of that.
Well, and I think I told you before I read it that I was looking forward to reading it because, you know, I lost my husband 11 years ago, and he's not gone. He's not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. they are here.
So let's talk about your new short story, Treacherous Love. The book description states, here's the blurb, married with a 7-year-old son, Rochelle and Ethan have the perfect life, or so it seems. But when passion escalates into violence that threatens the life of their son, the couple is forced to confront the truth about their relationship. So tell our listeners a little more about Treacherous Love, what inspired it, was it hard to write? Just talk a little bit about that story. And also I want to know if this story was part of the RRBC 90 Day Alpha Omega Beginning to End Short Story Contest. So you have a lot of questions to answer.
Well, let me start with the short story contest. I actually wanted to enter it in the short story contest, but because of my love for herbs and critters, I missed the deadline.
Oh.
So it was my intent, yes.
Okay.
But I didn't get there. As far as the story itself, I'm not sure. I am sure. I have a friend who worked as a volunteer counselor, basically, at a facility for victims of domestic abuse and domestic violence. And she and I were talking. She told me some stories, and not using names, of course, but situations that were particularly sad. And I mean, they're all sad. But
right.
The more we talked, the more we talked about the fact that everybody thinks that domestic violence or abuse is this bad man beating up this poor little woman.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's what it is. But a lot of times, maybe more than we realize, it's that bad little woman beating up that man who doesn't want to say anything because he's embarrassed about it, or he feels ridiculous, or he just can't come to tell anyone. In most cases, it takes quite some time for both parties to either realize or admit that they're in a situation which could be a life-threatening situation of violence. And it's a, I love you, I hate you, get away from me, don't you dare leave me. It's almost a schizophrenic kind of relationship. So that having been said, treacherous love, in that story, I tried to pull all that together and to show that what you see on the outside is not necessarily what's going on the inside.
Right, and that is so true. And I think one of the points that you hit on as to, you know, why especially a man would keep it hidden is because of that male ego and and not wanting to admit that that he's being abused. And so I could see where that would be very difficult for a man, for sure.
Well, you know, the old phrase henpecked, you know, that's what men, you know, it's, well, I don't want someone to think my wife is running me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So again, back to that ego and maybe even, maybe the way the man was raised, that he was taught that a man never hits a woman, or, you know,
yeah.
So I think you did
exactly.
A very good job. And I read the story and I did enjoy it. I thought you did a very good job of bringing that around and then bringing a trigger point into the story, the trigger point with the son. And I don't want to send, I'm not going to do any spoilers because I know there's probably people out there that haven't read it, but that was integral in bringing about some kind of resolution, was having that trigger, like you said, another outside trigger point.
So
I thought you did a very good job
it.
With it.
Thank you.
Did, and I highly recommend it. I'm going to turn the subject just a little bit, and let's talk about our RBC. You have been a longstanding and a very supportive member of our RBC. So tell us what your experiences and your feelings are about the Rave Reviews Book Club, and how has being involved with the community benefited you as an author or as a person?
Well, I think the first and foremost is that the members, and of course I don't know all of them and haven't come in contact with everyone, but those with whom I've spoken or corresponded have been so incredibly supportive. I can't even begin to tell you. It's authors helping authors, and I'm not afraid that by selling your book, you're going to hurt me. You know, that's kind of the attitude. So there is a lot of support out there among the members. And there's experience. So my style of writing might be different from your style. You will tell me what you like and don't like about mine, and listen to me tell you what I like or don't like about yours, and we can share ideas and attitudes, which I think helps both of us to grow, some more than others. I've had an incredible, incredible amount of encouragement from quite a few members throughout the years. So I can't say enough. I think anyone who wants to seriously do any writing needs a support group. Where to go? Where I want to research history. Mm-hmm. Where's a good place to go? And I think it was Mary told me how to find some historic sites that would give me some insight there. So it's, yeah, just overall support, friendship, and help.
Well, one thing you said that really struck a chord with me is when you said you're not going to hurt. I'm not going to hurt me by supporting your work. And that is so true.
Yes.
And there are many authors who really have not gotten that concept that if I promote your book, then I'm not promoting mine. But it's the law of the universe. It's just the way it works.
You're right.
And it was the entire concept was what Nani founded RRBC on, was that authors supporting authors and everybody wins. And it is very true. You were the spotlight author this month. So tell me a little bit, how fun was that?
Oh, it has been so much fun. the blog tour, I met quite a few other members, authors, the majority are authors, and got some ideas, hopefully gave some ideas. And I feel like I kind of made some new friendships that, we'll probably expand upon. The radio show, I mean, this show is so much fun. I really enjoy talking with the hosts and getting questions from people. So the whole month, the support on Twitter, on Facebook. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. So I want to talk about Ricey University, but we do have a couple of comments that go along with your actual story. And one of them is from Kelsey at RRBC. And she says a perfect example, and she's talking about the spousal abuse, the flipping opposite, is Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Amber Heard is an abuser story, and I'm not sure what she's talking about, but maybe other people. If it's a movie, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I'm not familiar. No, I haven't either.
I'm not either. Then she also chimes in and says a man should never hit a woman, but a woman shouldn't hit a man either, unless she's playing around. Abuse on either side is unacceptable. I agree.
I absolutely agree with that. And you had touched on that, Jan, when you said, men are, or boys are raised not to hit girls, men are raised not to hit women.
Right.
Women should be raised not to hit men.
Absolutely.
I mean, people should be raised not to hit people.
Exactly.
It's not complicated.
It's really not. I totally agree.
Right. And you shouldn't hit animals either. Let me put that plug in there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I totally agree for sure. And then as far as your participation in RRBC, Wendy has commented and said, I see Karen all over Twitter promoting other RRBC authors. Thanks. And I agree.
I do try to do that. Yes.
Let's see. Oh, and okay, Nani did chime in about what you said as far as supporting other authors, that you're not hurting yourself and that concept. And Nani said, Jan and Karen, that way of thinking is one of the reasons I created the Rave Reviews Book Club. A candle loses nothing by lighting a new candle.
Exactly. And actually, the author supporting authors concept is the reason that RRBC got my attention. That's what we need to do. There are a lot of people writing books, some good, some not so good. But I think supporting each other helps us get our work out there, particularly the decent work, the good work.
I totally agree. Okay, and Kelsey clears up the question about Johnny Depp. She says the actor Johnny Depp is in dispute right now for being abused by his girlfriend, actress Amber Heard, in the news, a huge story. Well, I don't watch the news, so I missed out on that.
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either.
Wow.
There you go. Something for us to look up.
But that's a prime example. Mr. Macho Man, and there you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Linnea Turner says, Karen Black discusses the importance of authors supporting authors, a win-win for everyone. It was my honor to host her on a guest blog. That's nice.
Thank you so much. My hosts were the most wonderful people, and that's another thing. I mean, Rave Review, everyone is so generous with their time. It's it is so much appreciated.
So one of your blog stops, one of the stops on your blog tour was about Ricey University and what it what it gave to you. So talk just a little bit about RISA University.
That is one of my very, very favorite things, one of my favorite subjects. RISA University is an absolute well full of information. There is help available. There are private mentors available if you actually enroll. And I'm saying enroll in quotes. I'm not sure if that's quite the right term. But it's not a university credited by the state. It's a university per se credited by Rave Review Book Club. It's people that have gotten together and put their experiences together, gathered information that can help any writer. Maybe it's about using adjectives. Maybe it's about style. Maybe it's about overuse of words. Maybe it could be about anything. You can go in and read these articles. There are ways. I'm not sure exactly the time. I think it varies for different people. Once a month, once every 2 months, you submit a writing sample. The writing sample is then reviewed by three or four or even more mentors who are your mentors during the time that you're going through this RISA U. And they will critique what you write. Okay, this was good, but this was really bad. This is on the right track, but if you do this, you probably, you could get more out of it. Well, having said that, I had been having an issue that I didn't really understand. In a past life, I did technical writing. I wrote a lot of contracts, agreements, negotiations, that kind of thing. And so it was a just the facts, ma'am, type thing. You didn't put a lot of extra in.
Right.
So going from technical writing to creative writing, I was having a real struggle with descriptions and expansions. It was a bright and sunny day. Okay, well, it was. But it didn't talk about the sun shining through the leaves and the butterflies that, have wings that glistened with the pollen that, that kind of. And I couldn't understand why I was having so much trouble. Well, as it was RISA U that opened my eyes. It was, oh, my goodness, you've got to get away from
Wonderful.
The facts, Karen. and let's get
away.
Right. And once that, the light came on, then that block that I was having disappeared. So instead of it taking me 3 hours to write a paragraph, I could do it in 15 minutes. So that's... It was amazing. It was amazing.
That is a wonderful testimony, and we can all learn from each other. And none of us know it all. Nobody knows it all. Our craft of writing is very fluid, and so it's not like something that you just learn and it's okay. I've got it now, and I've got it forever. You're constantly learning and growing, and finding new ways to express. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. So if you could give a new writer some advice about writing, what would you tell them? If they were brand new and they're like, I've got this story, I want to tell it, what would you advise them to do?
I would say write your story, get everything ready, get all ready to publish it, and then don't publish it. Read it again. Once you have it finished and you're ready to go, take a step back, and by a step back, I mean wait a couple of days or even a week or a month. Go back again and read it like you're reading it for the first time. You will be amazed the improvements that you can make at least most times in that story. So everybody, you finish your story, especially your first one, you cannot wait to get it published. I mean, I was that way. It was 10 years ago, but I couldn't wait to get that story out there. I've learned since that you really need to wait. You need to proofread and proofread and proofread, not just for spelling errors or grammatic errors, the punctuation, but just for content, because when you're reading your own work, you know what you want it to say, but you're not always it's not always reflected.
That's very
in
true.
What you're saying. So, read it like you're reading it for the first time and then publish.
Right. And I call it reading it with fresh eyes, because it's amazing the things you miss. And then it goes to an editor, and even it's amazing the things they miss. So
And I don't know about you, but I am the world's worst proofreader of my own work. I can do somebody else's, but not mine.
I think we all are, because like you say, we know what we're trying to say, and our brain will just gloss right over
typos
and everything
else. It puts in
the
word or
takes out the word. Yeah, it's crazy how it works, but that's the way it is.
It is.
Well, we're almost out of time. I tell you, we could talk for an hour at least. But and I thank you so much for visiting with us and letting us get to know you a little better, and for being the guest on Bring on the Spotlight. But now it's time for us to share some news about another RRBC member, Sam Polakoff, and his book, Shaman. Shaman by author Sam Polakoff. Dan Alston questioned his sanity. A successful businessman and U.S. senator, his entire life had been plagued by strange voices and visions. The episodes were ambiguous and easily ignored. But on his 50th birthday, during a climb in the Andes, Dan is involuntarily transported on a spiritual journey and shown something horrifying, an environmental apocalypse. He learns he is experiencing episodes from another lifetime, a lifetime from which he has been reincarnated and once lived as a shaman during the Inca Empire. His chief of staff, Talia Clayton, tries to help him understand the meaning of his experience and to fight his demons, both real and perceived. While he struggles to make sense of his predicament, Dan and Talia cross paths with ancient forces, reborn to hasten the Earth's destruction by weaponizing climate change. In a race against time, Dan must summon his innate courage to save the planet from an apocalyptic end. Shaman is the story of a man who thought he knew what serving his country meant until he discovered his true purpose and the power required to fulfill it. Shaman by author Sam Polakoff. Get your copy today on Amazon or other online retailers where books are sold legally. And I can say firsthand that is also a very good book. I enjoyed it. So I want to thank everyone who joined us today. Go ahead.
It has to go on my list. That sounds outstanding.
I think you would enjoy it, especially the paranormal aspects of it. So, yeah, there we go. So thanks to everyone who joined us today in the Peanut Gallery on Twitter. Your participation helps make these shows what they are. Karen, after the show, I would suggest that you stop by and respond to the comments on Twitter at the hashtag RRBC Bring on the Spotlight, because I didn't get to read them all. But once again, thanks to our guest, Karen Black, for sharing with us her book, Treacherous Love. Listeners, your honest reviews help authors grow, so please post your reviews where you purchase the book and share on your social media forums so other readers can find these books. This is your substitute host, Jan Sykes. Thank you for tuning in today and listening to Bring on the Spotlight, a Rave Waves production. Please be sure to join us next time for another episode of Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. Until next time, happy reading. And Karen, again, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure.
Jan, thank you so much for inviting me. I had a wonderful time.
Absolutely. Well, everyone have a great day.